This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Here on the Ideas Network, we sometimes ask you what you want to hear on WPR. And recently, Keith from Middleton asked about the history of the Aztec people in Wisconsin. He recommended we start in southeastern Wisconsin at Aztalan State Park. So we did. But spoiler alert, Keith, the Aztecs did not live in Wisconsin. We still have good news. Our guest can explain why people have that impression and what we actually know about ancient peoples in the area and how we think of their land today. Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer and Cultural Resources Division Manager for the Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, good morning.
Bill, how did Aztec culture become linked with the place now known as Aztalan State Park in Jefferson County?
Well, from our perspectives, tribally, we learned quite a lot of the history of Aztalan, also through the normal means, through archaeological and anthropological studies of the Aztalan site itself. And the early history of, you know, the discoveries of that began to take place, obviously, before Wisconsin was even a state. You know, we were a territory all the way up until 1848. And so when you listen to many of the folks that take care of the park, even to this day, they talk about the discovery of that site and that how it its name came to be attributed to it was through this early understanding of the thought that these folks from down south had an origin site to the north, which they referred to as Aztalan. And as it goes, that's how the name became attributed to that site there.
So settlers...
Fast forward that process. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say fast forward that process there. It was just kind of a misnomer that it got originally named that. It had nothing to do with southern folks, you know, at that time.
Sure. And I was going to say, so white settlers came in, they saw what was there, and they made connections to what was described from the Aztec people and said, oh, must be the same people. They must be connected, when in reality, they were not. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If people go to Aztalan State Park today, what can visitors expect to find?
Well, you'll find a site that is... I think based more towards educational, you know, outreach, being a state park, and it also probably is associated to a high degree for tourism needs. But you'll also find a site that's been heavily disturbed through different aspects of our early American periods, right? The agriculture that had taken place down there extensively. A lot of local folks that are inquisitive would go and try to discover their own history on the site. So you saw a lot of potting and eventual looting and so on and so forth until the state took ownership of that and began to protect it and preserve it to some degree there as an archaeological site. And it's a little different than, you know, a cultural resource that a tribe would attribute it to. But that's how, in a nutshell, is how it's being taken care of today.
Archaeologist Bob Birmingham co-wrote a book about the history of this place. As a guest on the Wisconsin podcast, he said many state park visitors are surprised by Aztalan's history.
Many people will ask right away, which tribe lived here? Well, this wasn't a tribe. This was a civilization that probably had many different ethnic groups, many different languages, like Europe.
So, Bill, if historians know that it wasn't the Aztecs and we're looking to indigenous peoples, what do we know about the descendants of the first people who lived in Aztalan?
Well, we know a lot about the descendants of the folks that ancestrally attributed this area to our territories, the Ho-Chunk people. As far as the folks that are attributed to the Aztalan site itself, that remains somewhat of a mystery, you know, to the public. And we have our ideas and assumptions. But you have to remember that during those periods of time when Aztalan was being placed there. It was a very short period of time in itself. I think archaeologists attribute it to some 300 years or so of that type of ideology or society being attributed to the establishment of the site. And the earthworks that are attributed to that area is different than the other earthworks that were taking place throughout this region. And that, you know, from, oh, they say about 300 BCE all the way up to 14 or 1500 AD, there was a general, you know, process of adaptation of earthworks being placed here. The conicals and linears of old, all the way up to that adaptation and the creation of the effigy mounds that are very significant to this area that are attributed to the Ho-Chunk ancestral footprint. Yet these platform mounds that they hold in high esteem at Ashland and several other sites throughout Wisconsin, or at least to the Mississippi watershed region, this is something that they are attributing to a place further south down the watershed, and that's that Cahokia region, and they feel that these folks came up here, and or vice versa, we went down there and we exchanged many ideologies and brought back ideas and such up to here. And so it's up to speculation. And the reason I say that is that you have to remember back in the 1830s through the 1880s when it became such a, public, area to study and take a look at. The Ho-Chunk people were being removed from this area. We were being forced, across the Mississippi and placed on reservations of lock, stock, and barrel. They'd take all of our elders and our youth and our men and women. They put us on reservations and throughout four different reservations that ended us up out in South Dakota, Crow Creek, South Dakota. And with those removals, obviously, there was a lot of attempts to assimilate us into the American life, with the mission schools and industrial schools and the boarding schools, stripping our youth, and of our culture. And along with this, we lost a lot of knowledge that, we desired to have retained it through that process. So in short, having accurate history of every specific, location throughout our ancestral footprint is very hard to attain. And so we at times listened to our elders, excuse me there, and for our oral history, that we still have retained in an area, and then those areas that are, somewhat vacant of accurate history of the exact processes, we're forced to regain this process through time as well.
Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the ancient history of burial mounds at Aztalan. You can join our conversation anytime by calling with your question. Call 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. This conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina. Massive mounds of earth curve up and down at the Aztalan site in the area of Jefferson County, carved by glaciers. Sheets of ice, though, did not construct these features. Prehistoric people built them, forced the soil into huge pyramid-like mounds with flat tops, and they built a stockade around their community. We're exploring Aztalan's features and importance here. You're part of the conversation. What do you want to know, or what do you want to share? You can call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation, and he joins us for this conversation. Bill, Aztalan's a popular excavation site among archaeologists. What draws archaeologists to this particular area?
Yes, we noticed that through the years as a tribe, too, that archaeologists and anthropologists tend to enjoy studying, native culture. And we focus mainly, obviously, on the Ho-Chunk history and culture and interact with a lot of the archaeologists throughout the state. We've did this, ever since the establishment of our tribal government in 1963. And so And talking about Esalen specifically, it does tend to be utilized quite heavily for new discoveries or discoveries about a culture that very few people really have an accurate knowledge of today. And earlier in the segment here, the name Bob Birmingham was mentioned, and Bob and I have known each other since early 2000s there. And it's interesting that we talked together on occasion about the history of, you know, earthworks and what was the importance of them and is there a use of them today? And we often, you know, state that, you know, these earthworks are at a state level, obviously protected as grave sites and their grave markers. And yet Esalen has what they refer to as platform mounds, obviously. And there's this intrigue as to the origin of who put them there and or what was the purpose. And I did hear that they mentioned this stockade, you know, component out there, this large wooden fence that surrounded this. And if given some thought, it's obviously it was placed there for a dual purpose, both to keep folks out, obviously, and or to keep people in. And so you have to start to imagine, you know, just how important that stockade wall was for them folks to be placing this in there at a time when, you know, the oak savanna type setting was real heavy, you know, throughout this region during that period. And it was somewhat hard to find lumber of that value or that quantity to place those stockades. So obviously there's a lot of importance placed into that. And there's a lot of speculation and conjecture of the use of Esalen site there by folks, whether they were from a different region and or incorporated within industrial, you know, in ancestral use as well. So, yes, they do a lot of archaeology work out there. We are always in support of accurate education for our youth, ours included. But there is a point where we do draw a line as well as the allowing for soil disturbance activities take place where there are known burials. And it's just the cultural importance of tribes that we protect and preserve our burial sites, you know, as our ancestors were placed there, not to be disturbed. And yet we find time and time again at these sites that and there's this different mentality that, well, if it was already disturbed once, well, then there's no problem with going back there and disturbing it once again. And on the other side of that coin, though, our tribal members, especially some of our traditional leaders, have said in the past that once tobacco is placed on the ground and that place is recognized as a burial site, it becomes sacred to us and that it needs to be protected as such from that point forward. So we tongue-in-cheek, you know, watch what takes place out there. We never actively partake in the archaeological work out there. But we're always curious as to the new discoveries or new speculations that take place.
And it sounds like, despite the fact that you disagree necessarily on how it should be handled each time, you try to work together.
Yes. So in this day and age, we can't all do it on our own accord. And so with the State Historical Society, for example, and with folks that are out there in our ancestral areas doing, you know, this educational work in their perspective, we tend to try to collaborate with folks to a certain degree there because we don't have that type of expertise in-house. And there's certain things that we have culturally unique that they don't have in their house. And so when we work together, I think we can together come about with a more accurate, you know, idea of what they're trying to obtain as well. It also allows us to become a better tribal government in order to gain such data there for our own personal use.
So you're informing your own culture now through some of that work and collaborating with the archaeologists. Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. I'm Keely Boltina. We are talking about the history and the significance of Esalen right now, State Park, but 1,000 years ago, it was an indigenous community. Archaeologists have found small houses, thousands of pieces of human and animal bones, food remains, storage, burials, incredible tools at the site. And we're talking about how important that is to understanding what happened in the past and also how we can learn from that while respecting culture and beliefs and people. Our conversation continues here on WPR. Ahead, we'll dig into the archaeological finds in Aztalan and also those tensions between modern interests and respect for indigenous communities. We welcome your experiences and questions along the way. Call 800-642-1234 or send us an email. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Aztalan is a state park and national landmark in southeast Wisconsin, but more than 1,000 years ago, it was a community of indigenous people. And then they abandoned it. In the 1800s, settlers discovered the site, relic hunters and farmers took over the land for decades until people took action to preserve what remained and restore some of what was lost. Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation, and he joins us for this conversation. You can be part of it, too, to talk about Aztalan's significance. What do you want to know? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Bill, Aztalan, as it stands now, clearly looks very different than it did 1,000 years ago. But people have tried to preserve it and bring it back to demonstrate some of what was there. Do we know what the mounds you see at Aztalan were used for?
Yeah, that is a good question. We base a lot of our, thought on the same process that, they are a different style of earthworks, that it took a lot of work, obviously, to create and maintain those sites and locations. And few will, stop to consider, how extensive of work it is actually and how large a group it would take to make such a mound. And then the resources that you need to sustain a society of people, on that site there for the length of time they did. It was probably based a lot on the networking process. They always say, our watershed was the travel routes of old. But a lot of folks don't realize that, since the last glacier episode, this area here and the environment, that we find ourselves in today, it had changed greatly in that those watersheds through times had changed considerably too. So let's fast forward up to when Cahokia was, at its zenith down there, and this process of where they were expanding their network. Well, this was something that the Ho-Chunk people at the time of that taking place must have had great knowledge of. Our men are no different than they are now. They enjoy traveling and seeing new things. The Nifate, they call it the Mississippi area. That was a great area for us to travel and traverse and associate ourselves with other groups of people and communities and to take, our knowledge and our process of a cultural needs here and exchange with theirs and bring it back here. That trade network of old must have been great. And so when you circle back around and talk about these the mounds that were associated with Aztalan, just in close proximity you'll find conicals and other forms of effigy earthworks just across the river, for example. And this place was created right in amongst of that. And to talk about the history of that area, when that last glacier was removing itself to the north, the Ho-Chunk people, you know, our ancestors came back into this region here and reestablished ourselves in these large village complexes. Deshishik, for example, that's where Milwaukee sits today, and Gushkehunuk down there, the Chicago area, and up here to Beloit area, you know, these cities of ours, that city in Beloit, that Ke-Chunk, these large village complexes, these are places that we have enjoyed using for thousands of years. And yet when Aslan come in here, that was such a significant thing. Obviously, it must have caught our attention greatly.
Yeah, you mentioned Cahokia. That's some archaeologists call this America's first city. It's a mound site near St. Louis. And in studying Middle Mississippians, the understanding is that Cahokia was the largest Native American settlement, and that, as you mentioned, different communities, you know, they weren't closed. They melded, they traveled, they learned from one another. And so you're saying that continues all the way up into Wisconsin as these communities connected over over the Midwest, over the Plains.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, as I mentioned, vice versa. I mean, networking was just as great, you know, as it is today as it was back then. I mean, we're always anxious to try new things. We're no different. You know, we don't lock yourself in time and history. You always, you know, adapted through time, you know, and if you didn't, you would cease to exist. And if you call the U.S., you know, of A, the melting pot, you know, right? Well, Cahokia was no different. There was many groups and peoples and societies coming there and sharing and networking that ultimately ended up failing, right? I mean, you get too many people in a small area there, and humans are humans, you know, greed takes place, and my items are more valuable than yours. And it just, there's no means to that end there. So in short, you know, whether Aslan was destined to fail, I don't think, you know, when it was created, it was that was its original intent, that they thought they were doing something that was of importance to expanding, you know, their culture and their society and so on and so forth. And there's still a lot of speculation if, you know, indigenous folks, especially the Ho-Chunk, had a direct hand in the building of the process. I suspect, you know, some ways there was and other ways there wasn't. And thus you have a stockade around area there. And there's a lot of things that took place there that archaeologists still ponder upon. You know, they mentioned, you know, the heavy use of cannibalism, you know, and whether that took place there or not, you know, there's indications of, you know, different practices that were taking place there that you don't see in other parts of, you know, our ancestral areas.
Aztalan was clearly a community of significance 1,000 years ago. And then if we fast forward significantly to the 1950s, Aztalan became a park. Before that, the mounds were used for farming after settlers came in. You know, another Wisconsin mound site, the Koshkonong Mounds Country Club, utilized native effigy mounds as part of a golf course. How do you think about the mounds today and how modern people are choosing to use them or preserve them?
Yes, that is always something that we have a concern about. I mentioned earlier how the Wisconsin state law 157.70 and its administrative code of 44.40 was recently amended back in 2015 and 16, where the Senate committee was created, a study committee to take a look at the Wisconsin burial law, in essence, there to see if it was meeting the demands and goals of not only the state's constituents, you know, but also as tribes and other communities there that, you know, had some concerns about the protection and preservation of burial sites. And in that law, you know, there was 8 amendments that took place that made that law a better tool for the historic society and state agencies there to manage and maintain and protect and preserve, in short, you know, ancient earthworks, burial sites, because within that law, it states that these are grave markers, that no different than if you went to Arlington Cemetery and you looked at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that stone there is a grave marker, and it needs, they need to be protected at that same level. These earthworks are sacred sites, and that, and they are placed there with, you know, a large purpose in mind, not only to protect those individuals buried in and around these earthworks, but also to serve as ceremonial sites and for other uses. And that's why it was so important for tribes to sit right alongside, you know, state agencies and all these other preservation and representatives and archaeologists. There's an individual who's an archaeologist named Kurt Sampson, and he does a lot of work to protect and preserve mounds. And he sat right alongside, this study committee out there in the crowd. And there was folks from the Historic Society sitting in that crowd. And there was every tribe of the state sitting in that crowd, because it was very important for us all to work together to create a better law to protect and preserve these earthworks. And when they, you know, have a project that takes place in Wisconsin where tribes are contacted to have a review on the protection and preservation of cultural sites, and if there's earthworks within the footprint of that project, for example, we want to meet to consult to assure that those burial sites are protected. Sometimes, you know, we come away with a great success, and sometimes not so great. But we're working towards a better tomorrow, they say. And so we've lost a lot of earthworks throughout our ancestral areas. I think Amy Roseball out of the Historic Society stated there was 20-some thousand mounds present in the state of Wisconsin when the first Europeans first arrived here. We've lost a lot of them through, the industrial age, right, where we're now able to take a machine and remove an entire hill and fill out a wetland over there and this and that. And these large village complexes of today, you know, are placed on our old villages where we had our earthworks sitting in them. And they destroy a lot of them. And there's a lot of the remains that we're taking from him. We're still trying to gain these back to some degree to place them back in the ground. So there's a lot of work that has taken place to protect and preserve these earthworks and view them as we see fit. But there's also a lot of work to do yet.
Yeah. Still time for your questions as we navigate Aztalan's importance over the last millennium. Bill Quackenbush of the Ho-Chunk Nation is our guest. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're covering the prehistoric significance and the modern importance of Aztalan. It's a site in southeastern Wisconsin where people lived, worked, and worshipped more than 1,000 years ago. We're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Our guest is Bill Quackenbush, Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. And we have Roger in Wanakee who's ready to join our conversation. Hi, Roger.
Hi. Roaming around in on private property one time, I identified a mound in a wooded area that up till now is undeveloped. How would I relate this information to the responsible party so that it could probably not be developed? There's probably more than one mound there. I just saw the one.
Roger, thanks for that question. And Bill, you know, whether there could be tribal significance, whether there's something else related to it, or even just to acknowledge and confirm that it might be, you know, a natural piece of the landscape, where would Roger start if he's trying to see if something needs to be preserved?
Yes. Good morning, Roger. Excellent question. As you know, Wisconsin, you know, is a wonderful state that has a lot of green space left out there, both public and private. And we always encourage folks that if they have an interest in an earthworks or something that they feel that could be attributed to Native American culture, contact us, reach out to tribes, Ho-Chunk Nation, will come and visit you on site and or visit that site with you. And right alongside us, we would probably and likely invite the Wisconsin State Historical Society. They have state archaeologists there that would be more than interested there, come there to take a look at that site and document it, and to assure that if it is a an earthworks and or a burial site, that it gets protected through the cataloging process that they have within the state. We also work with communities, obviously, to if they have any question on municipal levels or at state levels, if they have a question about cultural resources, that's what tribes are here for. That's what tribal governments do. Where they have preservation departments and they have TIPO programs that have gained the assumptions and duties from the state there to better protect and preserve cultural resources that are significant to us.
We've got Steve in Stoughton, who I think has a follow-up question to what we're talking about. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I was wondering, I'm familiar with a site east of Waterloo that is currently a quarry owned by Michaels Corporation. And there's some very, very important artifacts there. I think they're petroglyphs, if I'm not mistaken. But my question really is about what's the business role when they find artifacts on their site that are historically significant to the indigenous population?
Steve, thank you so much for that.
Really.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. Bill, your response.
Yes, Steve, and another great question. There are much more out there culturally significant, you know, that is significant to tribes, petroglyphs being one of them. Rock art is sometimes what it's also called. And what happens, though, is private landowners and businesses and corporations, ultimately in the state of Wisconsin, they have the ability to determine what they do with those sites. Now, the state, obviously, the historic site, as well as tribes, highly encourage landowners to contact us. And in short, if we can document the site and to protect and preserve, it would be ultimate goals for us, obviously, because as we, you know, strip our Wisconsin area, these cultural sites on here, we strip us of our history. And that is something that Wisconsin has the ability to do, as many other states may not have that, you know, same option out there. Wisconsin is a beautiful state, and there's a diverse in culture, and we want to protect and preserve these sites to retain that. You have to, I guess, at the end of the day, as a private landowner or as a corporation, make that determination if you want to be that person to protect a site and or destroy it for other means.
And Bill, it seems to me that change is happening so much more quickly now because we can change things so quickly. I mean, this site was preserved and pristine for hundreds of years. And then in, you know, a century or so, people just dramatically changed it and destroyed some of the things that had survived so many centuries before.
Yes, you're right. I mean, you know, archaeological sites is what it's termed now. I mean, it distances you and puts it into this cold, you know, shelfy thing. And when in reality, you, they're cultural resource sites, and they're all of our sites. And it's not just the Ho-Chunks, and it's not, you know, the folks that built it. It's all of our history today. And we have to begin to view it in a different manner there, because as we continue to destroy these sites or not protect them, you know, in ways that we should be, we tend to destroy all of our history and culture in this area. And there was a period of time in the 1800s and 1900s, and even now, that societal ways of life have a different viewpoint on cultural resources. There's no way you would find, you know, folks that are out there knowingly digging into burial sites and destroying these sites there, doing the same thing for their own family and their own cemeteries. And so we question that. Is there an equal level of and playing field out there for all indigenous groups in Wisconsin and all societies of people in the state of Wisconsin? Hmm.
We're talking about Aztalan State Park with Bill Quackenbush, Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. And I want to welcome Al in Milwaukee now. Hi, Al. What's your question?
Hi. I went to Beloit College in the 80s, and there's mounds in the center of the academic side of the campus. And I was just curious if you knew anything about them or how they're cared for, where they're registered, et cetera.
Thanks, Al. Bill, can you speak to that at all?
Yes, Al, that's interesting. You mentioned Ho-Chunk Village. That's Beloit over there. Ho-Chunk in Ho-Chunk rendered as Turtle Village. And there's a reason why it's called Turtle Village, obviously, over there, and those mounds that are present where today's university sits, it being one of the oldest university systems within the state. I believe they were even a university before it became a state. Yet to place that on top of a large mortuary, right? That's what that is these earthworks are no more than grave markers. And it was a large burial area. And Kachunk Village is something of significance to us. And that burial site system on there is very important to us to assure that we continue to work with the university to protect and preserve those remaining mounds that still exist there, as well as when they have proposed projects within the university, they reach out to us now and they talk to the Ho-Chunk people and other tribes there to assure that, you know, they're doing everything they can to do the best they can to protect those remaining sites, as well as inadvertent discoveries take place, Al. I mean, no matter where you go in these large villas complex of ours, when you turn over a shovel, there's usually a cultural context within close proximity to that. So we're always interested, and we are, you know, very grateful that the university system in the state of Wisconsin as a whole works with the tribes that are associated with this region.
To ground this in Aztalan, Jefferson County encourages tourism. The Friends of Aztalan State Park offer guided group tours. They're working toward an interpretive center for visitors. Bill, what do you make of the efforts encouraging tourism at Aztalan and trying to put this into context for people who visit?
Yes, this takes us back to years ago. They reached out to the Ho-Chunk people there to ask if we'd want to work with them to some degree there to assure that a more accurate, educational component takes place at the Aztalan State Park. And we jumped in onto that that mix there, and we began talking about their future visitor center, incorporating, you know, Ho-Chunk heritage within that, offering opportunities for us to work together for educational outreach with groups there. And as they do studies over there, encourage, you know, the Ho-Chunk and other, and you know, indigenous groups work alongside with them out there too. And it's an interesting concept. There's a lot to learn from all parties at Aztalan still. If it's done in the appropriate way, you know, the tribe will continue to work with those folks.
Mm. Bill, I really appreciate your willingness to take us through so many different centuries and to talk about things of the past and things that are certainly on our minds today. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, you're certainly welcome.
Bill Quackenbush is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation. We explored the true history and then current issues surrounding Native American burial mound sites, specifically at Aztalan State Park. We brought you this conversation thanks to a caller who recently called about the history of Aztecs in Wisconsin. And we dug into it and found that the Aztec people never actually lived here, but early white settlers assumed that they had based on the features of Aztalan State Park. So thanks to Keith and Middleton for the suggestion and for opening our eyes to something new and interesting and hopefully more collaboration. We want to hear from you for future programs. Visit our program page to leave suggestions using a form on our website. The page is WPR.org/mornings. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network.